Welcome back to the Roundtable. It's 11:15, nearly every Tuesday morning when there aren't hearings. The Roundtable welcomes an independent bookseller from throughout the listening area to share what they've been reading and enjoying lately. Today, Connie Brooks and Kate Reed from Battenkill Books in Cambridge, New York, join us. Welcome, Connie and Kate.
Good morning.
Hey, hello.
What's new in the book biz?
Well, we have some great books to talk about. And I'm going to start off with some books, choices for adults, and I'm going to dive right in.
Adult books?
All
right.
Well, not...
No. Well, carry on anyway.
I'm going to start with The Library Book by Susan Orlean, and this book comes out in a couple of days. I'm probably not the first reviewer to call Susan Orlean's The Library Book a love letter to libraries, and it certainly is that, but it's also very much the story of an unsolved crime. So in the morning of April 29th, 1986, a fire alarm sounded in the Los Angeles Public Library. Now, fire alarms at the library were a common, if not daily, occurrence. So the staff and the patrons all file out. But it soon became clear on this day that something different was happening because they were not allowed back into the library. As one fireman recounted later, once that first staff got going, it was goodbye, Charlie. Turns out it was the biggest library fire in United States history. And when I started reading the book, I wondered why I had never heard of it. I've always been around libraries, kind of a library person.
Yeah.
Well, the fire started the morning of April 29th, and it started, of course, California time. By the time it would have made the news cycle on the East Coast, a nuclear reactor had exploded in Chernobyl. So you can imagine that the news cycle covered that. And this dramatic, devastating fire out at the Los Angeles Public Library didn't really reach the news out here. 400,000 books were destroyed in the fire. 700,000 more were damaged. And Susan Orlean delves into the crime. She talks about arson. She burns a book herself to see how easy it, or actually not, it is to burn a book. And she talks about the importance of libraries in our lives and how important they are to everyone. And probably most intriguingly, she re-examines the case of Harry Peak. He was an actor. He's been long suspected of setting the fire. But he was never, ever convicted of that crime. And it's just a fabulous, fascinating book. I could not put it down. It comes out in a couple of days, and I recommend The Library Book to everyone. Susan Orlean also wrote The Orchid Thief, which a lot of people have read, and she wrote Rin Tin Tin, which came out a couple years ago. So a lot of people know Susan.
Very nice. Does she think that Peak is the guilty party?
She doesn't come right out and say it.
All right,
maybe not.
We'll read the book and find out. The Library Book by Susan Orlean.
Next I brought in, this is Diary of a Bookseller, and it's by a gentleman named Sean Beithel. And the Diary of a Bookseller is Beithel's funny and fascinating memoir of a year in the life at the helm of the bookshop, which is in the small village of Wigtown, Scotland, and of the many locals, unusual staff, and eccentric customers who make up his life there. When he first thought of taking over the bookstore, it seemed like a great idea. The bookshop is Scotland's largest secondhand store with over 100,000 books in a glorious old house with twisting corridors and roaring fireplaces set in a tiny, beautiful town by the sea. It seemed like a book lover's paradise until Beithel did indeed buy the store. And I can relate. So it's his wry, hilarious diary. He tells us all of the trials and tribulations of running a small business, learning that customers can be, shall we say, eccentric, and wrangling with his own staff, a few of whom are oddballs, such as ski suit wearing dumpster diving Nikki. But then, too, there are the highlights, the buying trips to old estates and auctions, the thrill of discovery, as well as the satisfaction of pressing upon people the books that you loved. So if you've ever thought about owning your own bookshop, I highly recommend The Diary of a Bookseller, or you can come talk to me.
You find it accurate then.
Oh, there's a fair dose that's accurate in there.
Connie Brooks and Kate Reed from Battenkill Books are here. So why did you do it?
Oh, it was a moment of spontaneity and insanity. But I love books, and it's been such a wonderful experience. We had a sidewalk sale over the weekend, and I was just down the road a little bit having pizza at Roundhouse Cafe, and I looked down the sidewalk, and a little boy had found a book at the book sale, and he was hugging it to himself. And I'm like, put that on my tombstone. Like, she may not have made a whole lot of money, but the boy hugged the book. Like,
you gotta love it. Well, you're the keeper of a flame to some extent. You really are. What's next?
The Clockmaker's Daughter by Kate Morton. And I love Kate Morton. I've read a number of her books. It's one that I brought in because we could all use a good ghost story this time of year. So the story begins, and it's in London, and it's current day. And a young archivist named Elodie Winslow uncovers a leather satchel. And in the satchel is a sepia photograph of a beautiful woman in Victorian clothing, and also an artist's sketchbook that contains the drawing of an interesting-looking twin-gabled house on the bend of a river. The house seems very familiar to Elodie, even though she doesn't think she's ever been there, and she's just intrigued. And then the story delves back through the years, all the way back to 1862, when a group of young artists, led by the passionate and talented Edward Radcliffe, descend on Birchwood Manor on the banks of the Thames. Their plan? To spend a secluded summer month in a haze of inspiration and creativity. But by the time their stay is over, one woman has been shot dead, while another has disappeared. A priceless heirloom is missing, and Edward Radcliffe's life is in ruins. So that's how The Clockmaker's Daughter starts off.
You recommend?
I highly recommend.
Yeah? Scary? It's
not scary, but it's a wonderful historical fiction. The one complaint about the book that I've heard is that there's so many narratives, and they're flipping back and forth in time, so you have to have like a cheat sheet.
Oh.
But I love that kind of book.
Really?
Who's
that's a lot of work.
Well, you know, that's okay.
Connie Brooks is here. Kate Reed here from Battenkill Books. And what's next on the list?
I don't want to take all of Kate's time, so I'm going to turn it over to Kate. And if I have time, I'll mention
okay.
my last book.
Okay. Today, I'd like to introduce a couple of picture books and a newly released young adult book. And the first picture book is called A House That Once Was by Julie Fagliano, illustrated by Lane Smith. Deep in the woods is a house, just a house, that once was, but now isn't, a home. And with that opening line, we join the boy and the girl as they head through dreamy pastel-like color illustrations towards this house at the top of a hill, an old abandoned house that is leaning. As they enter the house through a broken window, there is this feeling of expectation. What will they find? Respectfully exploring the contents, they wonder with curiosity, who was the someone who lived in this house? Who ate beans for dinner? Who looked in the mirror? Who left without packing? There is an unspoken invitation to wonder with the children where that person might be at this time. We live with ambiguity as no answers are given to these questions. A House That Once Was is a gentle adventure that many of us may have wished we had had as children or maybe even as adults, and it's for ages 4 to 7. My second choice is A Home in the Barn by Margaret Wise Brown, illustrated by Caldecott medalist Jerry Pinkney. And this is a great book for a holiday present for your young preschooler. As Ms. Brown describes the animals seeking the shelter of the big red barn as the cold of winter approaches, Mr. Pinkney illustrates the increasing activity as the barn begins to fill with the mice, the cattle, the chickens, the cats, the horses, the barn swallows, the goats, the pigs, you name it, they all end up in the barn. And despite the propensity towards chaos, Mr. Pinkney is able to picture a safe community as in Edward Hicks' Peaceable Kingdom, while we can almost hear the winter wind howling outside. The only thing that doesn't work for me in this book is that the writing switches back and forth between rhyming verse and free form. And so you have to kind of let that slide.
That's an odd stylistic choice.
It is. But, you know, it's an old Margaret Wise Brown is, mm-hmm. you know, older. And they've just put this into print with Jerry's pictures. So, yeah, it's a great picture book. style, and Pinckney's illustrations carry the story forward, I think, splendidly. Mm-hmm. So I still recommend it. And the last book I want to share is the novel Bridge of Clay by Marcus Zusak, who also wrote The Book Thief, which is one of my favorite books. Zusak writes young adults novels that easily appeal to adults. And this book is just released today, so I've just begun to read it, and I was pulled into the story in the first chapter. Matthew, one of five brothers, heads to a small town the day after his wedding with the mission to dig up an old typewriter in the backyard of an old farmhouse. And so he arrives in town, he asks for directions, and he's recognized immediately, though just because of his family relations, and is given the directions, shows up at the house. They willingly let him go into the backyard to dig up to find this typewriter, and in the process, he's been warned that if he doesn't dig it up right, he's going to find a dog skeleton and a snake skeleton. So he proceeds to dig. He finds the dog skeleton. He finds the snake skeleton. And so we're almost sure he's going to find the typewriter, which he does. And so off the story goes, and it's about the Dunbar brothers. Clay is the one that has a story to be told. The Dunbar brothers are living together with their menagerie of pets in a perfect chaos of a house. But anyway, I want to find out what this typewriter is all about.
I can't wait to read it. Kate was telling me about this one on the way down here this morning, and I said, well, I want to get my hands on that once
Bridge
we get back
Clay.
To the store.
Bridge of Clay. So... come dig it up and
all
read
right.
it, and we'll all find out together what happens.
Now, I know there's an event coming up on October 20th you want to talk about.
We have mystery writer Archer Mayer coming to the bookstore. We're super excited. It's going to be our first time hosting Archer. He will be talking about his new mystery, Bury the Lead, which starts with a young woman's body that's found on a trail at a popular Vermont ski resort. That's how that mystery starts. So that's Saturday the 20th at 2 o'clock. And as I say, it'll be our first time hosting Archer, so we're very, very excited.
That's great. And how do people find out more about events going on at Bat and Kill Books?
They can visit our website, batandkillbooks.com. They can call us, email us.
Excellent.
Now drive up to Cambridge.
You gave, you as they say in the Senate, you relinquished your time for Kate. You have, if you want to do your last book, Connie Brooks, you have one minute.
I have 1 minute. Oh my gosh, the
Either
pressure.
30 seconds, we'll call it.
Oh yeah, Kate wanted to talk about Africa, so I'll let her talk
about
Africa.
I had a chance to go to Africa about a year and a half ago and worked in with some schools in the slums of Nairobi. I came back to the U.S. and Connie offered to... have people buy books at discount to send to Africa. And we raised over $3,000
worth of
books from the Cambridge community. And those books arrived just this past week in Nairobi. And we're going to have an event somewhere along the line kind of highlight that.
Well, that's so nice. Now, we'll have to leave it there. But Kate Reed and Connie Brooks from Bat and Kill Books, thank you so much for being here. Remember, we post all of our book picks online, all of our interviews and segments as well, wamc.org/roundtable. And you can always go to the Bat and Kill Books website, batandkillbooks.com. Connie and Kate, thanks for being here.
Thanks,
Ray.
Thank
you, Ray.
You are listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.